Hello, Salah fans, and welcome back to the latest episode of the Shrews Views podcast, brought to you by the Shropshire Star. My name is Johnny Drury, and this week I am joined by, I'm not joined by our Salah correspondent, Ollie Westbury, who, as you'll have seen, is somewhere off on a ski slope somewhere. I'm actually joined with we've got an able replacement in, someone who's made an appearance on the podcast this season before. I'm joined by Jack Groom of Shrews Analysis, who's come on to give us his expert view on Salah and what is going to be a pivotal week for Paul Hurst's team. Jack has informed me he's in a pub somewhere in the Shropshire region at the moment. So if you can hear any clanging and banging of pint glasses and plates in the background, we do apologise. But Jack, we're recording this on sort of the Wednesday morning after the night before, so I'm sure you're still reeling from last night's disappointing defeat.
Yeah, it's one of them games that after 6 minutes you kind of think, well, I might as well pack up and go home now, because it's just not an enjoyable experience. I say for anybody, I'm sure the Exeter fans and players were loving it, but for anybody of a Shrewsbury persuasion, it's such a frustration that, yeah, the game gets pretty much, I won't say ruined, but it becomes an attack versus defence for the round in 84 minutes, which isn't the prettiest watch. Obviously, you hope that you can try and grab something out of it. But yeah, not to be last night, unfortunately.
Nah, disappointment. Obviously, it's a big week for Salah. We're going to reflect on Exeter last night. Obviously, after the sixth minute, there's not a great deal to talk about from a Salah persuasion, but we'll certainly go in depth on that red card because it's divided opinion from some Salah fans. We'll talk about a few of the positives from Port Vale and a good result on Saturday, the first of these three games. We'll look ahead to Carlisle, which is another massive clash, with an ex-Salah boss coming back to town in the battle for survival. We'll talk about two new arrivals at the club, one just an hour or so before we recorded this podcast, and one that came last weekend in the form of Ryan Tulloch. We'll have a little bit of chatter about some EFL news as well that's come out regarding the Premier League this week. And as we said, yeah, we'll look ahead to the big clash against Carlisle on Saturday. But Jack, I want to go back, obviously, for some Salah fans. This will probably be redundant now because all the thought will be on the disappointment of Exeter, but you know, the first of these three pivotal games was Port Vale, and Salah got the job done. They almost showed that they can dig in, really, you know, when it matters, and it was sort of one sort of tick on the board.
Yeah, massively. So you referenced a second ago the pub being in Shropshire, so I do actually live over in Staffordshire now.
In
Staffordshire. So the victory against Port Vale, given that I work with quite a few Port Vale fans, was extra special for me. It is always one of them that it's a bit of
work bragging rights.
Yes, definitely. So leading up to the game, it's always a bit, I hope we do well, not just for the table's sake, but for the sake of walking back in the office Monday morning as well. So that was extra special for me. But yeah, really, really important. Again, I was speaking to a few Vale fans in the week leading up to it that I work with, and they weren't very confident, to say the least. A couple of the comments were saying they didn't think they were going to score again all season, didn't think they were going to win again all season. So they weren't particularly optimistic. But again, it's one of them that, despite all that being a bit of a, some may say pessimist, some may say realist, I was confident going into the game. I think, again, a point wouldn't have been the worst result, but to grab all three was very, very good and very pleasing. Obviously, it should have set us up for at the time, I guess, for a big two games remaining in this week. But yeah, the battle that they showed to get the 3 points was important. Disappointing to concede a bad goal, a poor goal, a clean sheet record, or the lack of clean sheet record of the last few months has kind of been spoken about in some quarters. I think it's 1 in 17. Or thereabouts now, something like that, which was obviously Paul Hurst's first game back away at Northampton. We haven't kept a clean sheet at home since Derby, the end of October. So that record is particularly bad. So yeah, just such a frustration to give them that goal, to give them a chance to get back into it. Obviously they didn't, thankfully, but it's that we just seem to give teams needless chances and give a needless leg up where we should be able to see the game and put it to bed. So that's the only kind of frustration there. But yeah, a really big, really important win, which hopefully will go a long way towards securing our safety. Not that that's done yet, though, of course.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point. You know, you talk 1 in 17, and when you say that, you know, it's October since they last kept one at home is pretty startling. And I suppose what that does is put more emphasis on the forwards, you know. With the main thing that Salah need at the moment is points and victories by hook or by crook, but not getting clean sheets makes it definitively harder. And it's not like Salah's front line all season has been firing on all cylinders. You know, that is a bit of a concern going into the final few games of the season.
Oh, massively. Again, you know, the goal scoring record earlier on in the season was well talked about, with us being so poor in front of goal. You know, it's not as if with the old school Newcastle team under Kevin Keegan, where we'll let teams score three against us and we'll put four past them. It's not a great sign if you can't score and can't keep clean sheets. So it is making life harder, the fact that we are having to score at least two to win a game. Again, looking back to Paul Hurst, it's the last rain, and having this doing the news, it's something that he obviously prides his team on, is being hard to beat and resolute, and that isn't something that we are at the moment. So I'm sure it'll be as much of a frustration to him as anybody else. But yeah, it certainly makes things a lot harder, given that, as you say, that it's not been particularly free scoring this season already anyway.
Yeah, the win at Vale did give Salop a little bit of breathing space ahead of last night, and obviously a game that they desperately wanted to win. But we've referenced it already, the red card for Jordan Shipley for a tackle on former Salop man Ryan Woods in just the sixth minute of the game. Now, I've watched it back twice, and for me, it's either one, I think they've both jumped in a little bit. I think for me, it's either one, you either don't send both of them off, or you send both of them off. Now, you'll have a better idea of this, Jack, but what's your view on it?
So I am a little bit old school in that regard, in terms of the fact that, for me, I wouldn't have even seen it as a foul, personally. I'd have just seen it kind of play on, two players going for the ball, they went hard, that's fine. And yeah, it's part of the game. I think Paul Hurst referenced that afterwards, and when he said that, we think it's kind of getting to a point where we can't tackle. So again, for me, my personal opinion is that I would have let it play on. I do understand that the game changes and you do have to, safeguard players and whatever. So in this day and age, I was probably expecting a yellow card, to be honest, because again, from the angle that I had, Shipley did catch Ryan Woods, in fairness, and he did make contact with him, and not maliciously, but he did make contact. So I was expecting a yellow card. So again, when the red was produced, it was a bit of a shock, because as you say, they both went into it as hard as each other. They both, it's both a good strong tackle. If your player pulls out of that, you're then getting on his back for, not showing the courage that you want to see as a fan. So it was disappointing. For me personally, I didn't think it was a red card, but in this day and age, I guess he's made the ref make a decision, which is a shame, because I think he should be able to go into that tackle without those consequences there. But yeah, it's a bit of a tricky one. Not a red for me, but equally, given the laws nowadays, I can kind of see why it was given at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's sensible. And I know Paul Hurst has talked about, potentially appealing, but I suppose it's a bit of an unknown with the rules as they are, whether that appeal would be successful. At that point, it was still 0-0, Jack, but it was 3-0 at the break. Was it more disappointing, just looking at the goals and sort of reading some of the reaction and the reports of the game? Salop seemed to be, defending. It was, as you said, attack versus defence, very much almost a training exercise for most of it. But it seemed like the goals come from sort of little errors rather than Exeter really carving them out. Is that, the more disappointing thing?
Yeah, because again, even with 10 men, you can still defend a corner properly. The first goal wasn't great. Exeter fans will say it was well worked. Again, from our perspective, it's just scrappy and scruffy. You almost wonder how the ball travels through so many bodies to get into the back of the net. So that was disappointing. I think whenever you go down to 10 men, you've got to try and keep it level as long as you can. And the longer it goes on, the longer you hope you maybe can nick something from a set piece or a bit of a scrappy goal to concede. I think it was about a half hour mark, something like that. So we've kind of gone 25 minutes without conceding when we were down to 10 men. And to concede a goal of that nature any time would be disappointing. But when you're so reliant on keeping it tight at the back, given that you are a man down, it was very disappointing. Again, second goal, a couple of decisions didn't quite go our way. A possible foul on Tom Bayliss beforehand, an almost certain foul, having watched it back, on Matt Benning, which I didn't see at the time, but I have watched it back since, which has stopped him tracking his runner. So again, two big decisions there that haven't gone our way. Marco makes a great save and we just don't react quick enough to the rebound. Again, I guess you could say we still could have done a better job. Again, having watched it back, there was a couple of town bodies around the rebound, which reacted slowest, which was a disappointment. And then, third goal, it was funny, but when the cross came in and Tom Bloxham headed it away, as soon as he headed it back inside, I made a comment to my dad saying about why have you headed it back inside, and then 2 seconds later, it's in the back of the net. It's like one of them, you don't want to be right, but then he's headed it back inside, and it's like, that's why, just, getting towards half-time, just head it the other way, put it out for a throw, something like that. So again, it is still in individual errors, which would have been made regardless of how many players you had on the pitch, if that makes sense. So yes, disappointing, we weren't helped by decisions, but equally we did still shoot ourselves a little bit in terms of the nature and a couple of the goals that were given away as well.
Yeah, I'm not saying you should be a football manager, Jack, but I saw you predict a quadruple change on social media last night, and then lo and behold, Paul Hirst makes a quadruple change at the break. Do you think it was almost a case of, you know, yeah, all right, we might get back into this one. We've seen it happen before. You know, it's quite rare, but to be honest, tonight's written off. Save these players for what is another big game on Saturday.
Massively, yeah. To be fair, I'm not sure if it's more pleasing or worrying that Paul Hirst, maybe looking at my tweets. obviously that had no impact on it. But yeah, there's no point, as I said, there's no point flogging those four players for the sake of, you know, trying to maybe get a goal back. The chances of getting anything in terms of the result were pretty much minuscule anyway. So I totally agree with that in terms of why he took them off and the rationale behind it. It's just a bit of, like, a few minutes for the lads that came on. But yeah, there's no point flogging the four players, which, given that Shipley will probably be out as well, because I would be surprised if the appeal was successful, are going to be very, very important if we do need to get a result, or if we do get a result on Saturday. So yeah, I totally see the sense behind that. And as I say, I totally agree with it as well. It's more important now, getting a result Saturday rather than just trying to, you know, maybe get a goal back last night, which would have been pointless anyway, really. So yeah, I totally see the rationale and the decision making behind that.
Yeah, just finally, you know, obviously, you know, it's, you need to draw a line under a result like that quickly when you're in such a battle. But is maybe one positive that they didn't, you know, fold further in the second half, you know, down to 10 men, 3-0 down at the break. You know, it could be quite easily become 4-5-6. And is that one positive that it didn't become that? Because that could be, you know, potentially more damaging in the weeks to come.
Yeah, it is definitely, you know, you do it 3-0 with 10 men, then it could be a 5-6-7 goal game, and it could become a bit of an embarrassment. The fact that it didn't is obviously good. You know, the lads that came on at half time did. And then it's a bit of a poison chalice to them. It's like, go on, lads, try and get as a result here when you're 3-0 down to 10 men. But yeah, they worked hard. They did okay. Exeter may well say that they took their foot off the gas a little bit. But yeah, the fact that it wasn't an embarrassment was obviously good and did almost restore a little bit of pride, I think. Paulus called it as kind of a moral victory in the second half, at least. So yeah, that was obviously a benefit that it didn't hurt the goal difference too much. Obviously, we would not like to concede three goals in the first place, but yeah, that's probably a small positive to come out of it, really.
Just a shout out for our sponsor. All our podcasts here at the Express and Star and the Shop Star are sponsored by The Kettle and Toaster Man, your graded product specialist who's got some fantastic product at fantastic prices. So head over to thekettleandtoasterman.co.uk to see what you can get your hands on. Right, it's been a, you know, we're not in the transfer window, but it's been a busy week for Salop in terms of incomings. Prior to the Port Vale game on Saturday, the news was announced that Rayan Tulloch had signed a short-term deal at Salop. He's been training with Salop for the last few weeks. He had his contract terminated by West Brom. He was a West Brom Academy graduate, and he had his contract terminated there in January on the back of a loan spell at Bradford earlier in the campaign. Now, he's been a player who's been out on loan from Albion a number of times. He was handed a really big contract at Albion a few years ago, but it never seemed to materialise for Tulloch. He's now arrived at the Craig Meadow until the end of the season. Jack, is this a signing that you sort of, you know, welcome in terms of, you know, it's probably a low risk signing? I can't imagine it's going to eat into the wage bill too much. It's a short term deal. You know, he's obviously got a point to prove. He's still very young. You know, there's obviously something there because he's been at West Brom for so long. What did you make of it when the news was announced? Is it something you sort of welcome?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I was quite surprised. Did you see that we brought someone in? I'm pleasantly surprised, don't get me wrong. Again, you know, the messages coming out of the club in the transfer window were that was that money was very tight and there wasn't much stretch in the budget. So I would imagine that, as you say, Tulloch is not taking up a significant wage, really. And in that regard, it's kind of almost a no-lose. You know, if he does well, he might earn himself a contract next year for himself and be an asset for us. Great. If not, I don't imagine there'll be a huge financial output on him as well. You know, given the way that Paul Hirst likes to play with wingers, you know, it's been well documented, the kind of the lack of, or the very few true wingers we have in the squad, even fewer now that obviously Shipley is looking like he'll be suspended. So I can see the thinking behind why Hirst wants to get him in definitely. Yeah, last night he did okay, as I've kind of already referenced. It's a bit of a fairly tough ask coming on at 3-0 down and down to 10 men. But yeah, it's one of them that if you can get fitter and get sharper, and you know, there's obviously something in there, given that he was given that long contract by West Brom a few years ago. There's clearly some talent within him. And it's up to him now to kind of show that and prove that. So if he does well, awesome. It suits everyone. If he doesn't, then it's one of them that kind of say, well, we've tried. There's not a huge kind of output for the club, as we say, and we look for other people in the future.
Yeah, another, you know, almost like one arrive and then two arrive at once. Jack Price was announced as a Shrewsbury Town player early this morning, actually. Probably the worst kept secret around Shrewsbury Town at the moment. We know he's been training with his hometown club for a while. The former Wolves man who picked up quite a bad injury. He's been at Colorado Rapids, captain of that side out in the MLS for a number of years. I know when me and Ollie have been talking about it, he's always sort of left the door open for this to potentially happen. We weren't sure if it was going to. He has now signed a short-term deal. A good move, Jack, you know, almost as someone who is... I can't imagine he's going to play an awful lot of games, given he's been injured. But, you know, someone who I think he... people are correct me if I'm wrong, captain Wolves for the League One title a few years ago. You know, he's played a lot of games for Wolves, a lot of games in the MLS. You know, just that experience in helping Shrewsbury get over the line almost. Do you see that as being the biggest key to him arriving rather than what he's going to do on the field?
Yeah, probably. Again, it's that the situation almost suits everybody in terms of, you know, helping him get his match fitness back up. You know, his quality is not in doubt. It's only because of his injury that he's probably signed for, doesn't it? Let's face it, it's that because of that. I would imagine other clubs aren't willing to take a bit of a risk on signing, which I understand, coming off the back of a long injury. Obviously, I think, I'm not sure of his age, I think he's around the 30 mark, so he's probably got more years behind him than he has ahead of him as well. And yeah, I'm sure it will be a good influence. You know, he was part of the Wolves squad. I think he played a couple of times when they were promoted. That's all, a few times when they were promoted that season, just say. Good experiences as well, so you'd like to think he would be a bit of a helping hand for some of the younger lads. Again, in terms of half the Wolves on the pitch, I would be surprised if we saw him much, to be honest with you. A couple of bench appearances perhaps, but it would be very hard for him, I imagine, to get up to speed to start the full 90. I'd be quite surprised if we ever saw him from the start, to be honest with you. But, you know, if he does come on, if he can influence a game the last 20 minutes, half an hour, and people's ticking over, because, again, his quality on the ball, everyone has seen that over the years. It's just a case of fitness, really. So hopefully he can do okay. He can get himself fitter and sharper. And who knows, there might be a longer contract waiting for him in the summer when we can really get a match fit. Jack Price, hopefully, help us kick on next season as well. Hopefully in League One.
You know, we've talked about these two arrivals and it comes on the back of, like you say, in January, you know, a lot of talk of the budget being very tight and Shrewsbury's financial situation has been well documented over recent months. Is it a little bit comforting that they have been able to bring these two players in, even though, they, like we say, they've probably been sort of low risk in terms of the amount of finances, but is it a little bit comforting that there is a bit of wriggle room there, given maybe sort of negative financial news over recent months?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess the flip side, just playing devil's avocado, obviously we don't know the actual balances that have been out, that are spent on Tulloch and on Jack Price, but some may say that if you combine their two wages, that could have bought us a decent right back potentially. You know, no disrespect to Morgan Feeney, but you know, I think if we had a proper right back, that would suit us more as well. I'm sure some may turn around and say that. But yeah, it's always nice to know that the club isn't, you know, certainly bankrupt and whatever, and has got a bit of spending to there, and hopefully they can come in and help us and strengthen us for the second half of the season. And how much chance we'll get to do so, given their fitness, I'm not sure. But yeah, I guess it's not a bad thing.
Just want to talk on another issue that Shrewsbury fans will have seen, and it's affecting the EFL this week. There was a meeting of the Premier League on Monday where it was expected that a deal regarding the EFL was potentially going to be struck. Now, a six-year deal granting EFL, it was 14.75% of the net media revenue with the Premier League. It was projected to be worth, this deal was projected to be worth in the region of £900 million. It's previously been mooted, but the Premier League clubs have decided not to sign this deal and are now prioritising an agreement on their own financial model and FFP and PSR that we always hear at the moment. Jack, just wanted to get your fans' point of view on this. And I've read a lot in the last few days about this and the Premier League helping or not helping the EFL. And I just wanted to get your view on it because it's quite a big topic and the amount of money that swashes around the Premier League. And English football is quite different to other countries as to, you know, how popular the leagues below the top division are. You know, does the Premier League have a sort of moral obligation in terms of these finances and it filtering down to the clubs below, one of them being Shrewsbury?
I think as a low league fan, you'd always say yes, there should be that obligation there. I guess the perspective of the owners of the bigger clubs in the Premier League would be, well, we worked for this money, so why should we give it away? Which, again, I do understand. It's obviously disappointing news to hear that that won't be kind of trickling down the pyramid to make clubs at our level stronger. So, again, looking at the implications for us as a club, you know, financial difficulties have kind of been well documented, so any kind of external investment, to use that term, would have obviously been welcome. So, yeah, it's clearly disappointing how much the club have budgeted for that funding that now isn't going to be there. I don't know, because I don't know how much of an impact that will have moving forwards. But yeah, I think it would be good to see the bigger clubs tackle the small clubs in situations like this. But clearly they've made their opinion and they're sticking by that, and they're not, which is one thing that we'll have to just kind of suck up and get on with, I suppose, which is obviously disappointing, but I guess there's not a huge amount we can do. Now, unfortunately, it's going to be a case of looking after ourselves and trying to get investment in other ways.
Jack, really appreciate your time. We're almost out of time. We're going to talk a little bit about Carlisle. We've heard a lot. You know, fans will have read Dave Edwards' column this week about the huge three games. We've talked about it quite a lot. The third of these three games is Saturday. Carlisle and Paul Simpson come to town. It's going to be another big test of character for Salop. But if they can win, there'll potentially be a gap of 10 points to that bottom four. Is Saturday the biggest game of the season?
Yes, because it's the next one. In terms of biggest game of the season, I think the Port Vale result last week certainly took a little bit of the heat off in terms of it gave us that kind of bit of a head start in this week, and it wasn't. It didn't leave us kind of chasing our tails and needing to get a result either last night, which obviously didn't, or heading back into the Saturday as well. But yeah, it's a huge game. It's certainly certainly it must not lose, you know, given the 7-point buffer that we've got at the minute. Not that if Carlisle were to win, it would be them that would be closing us down, but it would be the chance to kind of the missed opportunity of getting points against a so-called weaker team when other teams may pick up points. So it's certainly very, very important we get at least something out of it. Obviously, we'd love a win, and I won't say expect to win, but I think anyone looking at the table playing bottom of the league at home, you would go, yeah, that's a game that we should and certainly could be winning. Obviously, you mentioned Paul Simpson coming back as well. I'm sure he'll get an interesting reaction. I believe it's the first time he's come back as a manager since leaving the club, 14 years ago. And I would be surprised if it was pleasant, to put it that way. They've also got Josh Vella playing for them as well, who I think has been out injured for the past couple of games. But again, he's become something of a pantomime villain within Shrewsbury fans in the past few years as well. So if he's to play, it will certainly add a bit of spice. And then you've obviously got Morgan Feeney playing for us, who there was a bit of heat with him in the return fixture up in Cumbria at the start of the season when a few things were said and emotions were kind of raised there. So I certainly think there'll be a fair bit of needle in the game. If we can get a result, brilliant. Again, it would be another massive step towards safety. And without wishing to state the obvious, there won't be any better chance in the season given that they are bottom of the league. I'm sure they'll be looking at it equally thinking that it's a winnable result given our home form, our defensive record that we've spoken about not being particularly great. I'm sure they'll be looking at it thinking it's a good chance for them to get a result as well, so they'll be fired up for it. If they are going to stay up, it's games like this that they will need to be winning. But yeah, fingers crossed we can get a positive result, and that last night hasn't taken too much out of us, and we've still got some left in the legs to try and get something on Saturday.
And put you on the spot now, finally, score prediction, which way do you think it's going to go?
Given what we've discussed, I don't think I can predict a clean sheet. I would love to be able to. So I will say 2-1 Town.
2-1 Town. Hopefully that is the case. Jack, appreciate you stepping in. I'm sure you'll be back next time Westbury Swan's off on holiday somewhere. Salop fans, as always, thanks for listening. And until next time, goodbye.